Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Hills Podcast Studio at the Bella Vista Hotel.
Arrow Sports sponsors Sky Blue Stories, and if you have found it hard or it's been hard to find your perfect sports jerseys, never mind. Head to www.arrowsport.com.au. From football to basketball, netball to rugby, Arrow Sport has you covered. Right now on Instagram, catch their latest designs and prototypes at @arrow_sportau.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much, and thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sky Blue Stories. I'm James Pearson and you're joined in the studio by Sean Maloney and only Sean Maloney.
Just me, yeah. I've subbed in for Jonathan. It's funny, James, the most consistent thing over the last two episodes has been you. you're the glue, the rock that's holding this podcast together. So
without me, you'd all fail. Which yeah, basically. We never would have said about 4 weeks ago.
No, Jonathan and I have had a falling out, so I can't be here when he's here.
No, that's fair enough. You're the second person on this podcast to hate on Jonathan Finger today.
Yes.
Actually, third, because I hated on him earlier. Well,
I don't
well.
Have this gentleman's bank balance, if only. No. Or his term deposits. I'm assuming it's term deposits. What?
What is a term deposit?
Don't you know what a term deposit is? You put money away and then you get interest for it and then the you finances. Can cash it. Anyway, it's not really good interest on them at the moment. But anyway, James, we are back for another episode.
I can imagine Jonathan listening to this going, get off term deposits.
Yes, welcome back everyone for another wonderful episode of Sky Blue Stories. A little shout out, of course, to our Hills Podcast Studio in Bella Vista, and thanks for all the Patreon love and the continued love. Jimmy, missed you last week.
Yes, you weren't here. Now, yes. Jonathan's not here. You were playing soccer last week.
Yeah, I kind of wish I was here because we had a 4-1 loss, very uncharacteristic of us, but we had a 1-0 win over the weekend, so I feel better.
Yeah, apparently you scored a lone goal, according to a guest that we had
Danny
later.
Townsend, yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan's obviously away this week. He's in Melbourne. We've got basically a big podcast to get through, so we're going to kick that off in just a moment. As a little teaser of what's to come, we've got all of our usual segments minus a trip down Middleby Lane because it's shit. And we have an interview coming up a little bit later with Sydney FC CEO Danny Townsend, focusing on Sky Park, the Sydney FC Foundation, as well as a couple of little reflections on what's to come in the club and the season so far, including a couple of great insights around the dressing room and some of the squad dynamics as well. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up a little bit later. Sean, shall we kick off with our Around the Grounds?
Let's get it on. Rowdy, thank you for a little bit of SFC stats love. Redder setting a new club record with his 37th clean sheet. Thank you, Rowdy, for finally updating SFC stats. It was about 3 or 4 weeks behind, but I know you're a very busy man, father, husband, lover.
I'd love to see Rowdy's statistics on his life. You know, time devoted to professional pursuits, family pursuits, Sydney FC
I think the former would get most
pursuits.
Of it. But yes, Redders has got his 37th clean sheet out of 107 appearances, so that about 35%. So that's basically one in every three games, you know, that he's getting a clean sheet. That's a pretty damn good record. Only conceding 100 goals per 90 minutes and 0.93.
Yeah, 100 goals per 90 minutes.
Conceding 100. Wait, maybe I've typed that in wrong.
You've definitely typed that in wrong.
I've typed that in wrong.
So Rowdy, that's an extraordinary amount. That's Archie Thompson levels of goal scoring.
I've typed that in wrong. Nobody's edited my run sheet, Jonathan.
0.93 goals per 90 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, so less than a goal per game.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah, righto. And interestingly, I'm not totally surprised.
I am the glue.
You are the rock. Alfie with the most pens, 14 pens he scored for the club, 13 Bobo shortly behind.
He's the Bruno Fernandes.
And that 14th would have been on the weekend, thanks to Rowdy for updating it as well. The other little tidbit. And there's a few little rumblings across the social media sphere.
Say, talk dirty to me.
Irish-speaking, Perth-hailing so Brandon O'Neill. post on his Instagram. Been a little quiet on the socials lately. It's been a crazy few weeks. A lot has changed in our lives, personally and professionally. Thus, our journey has led us back home, the place we love most. We don't know what our new journey will look like, but it's feckin' good to be honest.
I love him.
Or good to be home, sorry. Quarantine life, here we come. So they're currently Nick/Jules. Brandon are in quarantine at the moment. Say it is so, Brandon.
Say it is so, Danny.
Say it is so, Danny. Scott, Barlow.
And now, Dave Warriner, if you're listening, Sydney FC Communications Director, announce Brandon.
If not for this season, which might be a
stretch,
bit hard because
2 weeks
of
quarantine and
the season, how close we are to the end, and scalar cap money.
Wants to see the family and do his thing.
Fair enough, yeah. He's old man. Maybe next season.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Boy, would we love to see that tucked in shirt wearing handsome fella in the middle of him in a Bratton midfield, which we have seen before briefly before he went off to Korea. I forgot the name of the team. Black and red.
John Book.
John, no, that's green. They're predominantly green.
Oh, yeah, I know. Hyundai Motors.
Yeah, somebody. Anyway, and now, you know, he's been recently in Thailand. Oh, what a midfield.
If anyone from Sydney FC is listening at the moment, I will never mention the phrase 4-2-3-1 if we sign Brandon O'Neill again. Mm. Never. Never. I don't even know what a 4-2-3-1 is. No. Just
what a sexy midfield, him and Braddon. I know we saw that briefly, but to see that
seven
again.
Games?
Seven, 8 games? Yeah, something like
wasn't,
that.
Wasn't enough.
Anyway. Yeah, so please, Brandon, welcome home. Always welcome.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, and always welcome back on the pod.
Yeah. Now, anyone from the club's listening.
Yeah. Let's move on to a little bit of club and squad business. Sydney FC. The other SBS, not us, is reporting that perhaps
the one that's now defunct.
defunct.
Soon to be defunct.
The world game.
We outlasted Lucy Zelich.
Yeah. Zelich. So we might take this with a grain of salt that McGowan might be in line for a Socceroos call-up.
You couldn't blame them.
He's been in good form, and I know there's that Graham Arnold connection there, the Arnie connection. So wouldn't be a stretch, possibly. You know, he's playing 90 minutes each and every week, so he's fit, he's in form.
He's a good-looking rooster.
May not see time, but he'd be a handy...
good bit of depth.
Yes, good depth in the squad. So, but rest assured, fellas, that wouldn't happen till once our season's over. So, you know, he won't be taken out of finals and whatnot with the other club. The other thing I would mention, it's massive, massive news in Sky Blue Land, is our
recently,
wonderful...
Recently, just before we went to air.
Yeah, quite literally. Sky Park, which will be our new home, not the Illuminati or the... what was the other name you had? Blue Lagoon.
Yeah. The Anchorage.
Anchorage, yes. You'll hear about the Anchorage shortly. but, look, I won't talk too much about Sky Park because we did speak to Danny at length about it. But, you know, they're up.
Lots of great insights there as well.
Up at Macquarie Fields for our AW and youth team, soon to be a female youth team academy coming too. Construction beginning mid-year, I think within maybe the end of May, maybe very early June.
He said
June.
Within a month,
yeah,
right?
So that's ridiculous.
So that was announced
quick.
A few days ago and he said breaking ground within a month.
I can see him there with the shovel, you know, that typical kind
with
of...
With a government minister too, and he's like high vis and he's hard hat.
The federal sports minister or the state sportsman cutting the ribbon or something like that. Training facilities, medical, gender-inclusive change rooms, adjoining hot and cold aquatic recovery pools, amenities, multi-purpose lecture theatre... The lobby, I'm excited to see with our club history, our trophy displays,
and it sounds
building.
Like all the support functions moving in as well. So a all new admin
under,
hub,
all under one roof, robbing off each other. Media rooms, commercial kitchen, outdoor terrace, looking over the training fields. It's going to be a sexy new home for us all to enjoy. And as Danny said, as you'll hear with him, it's it'll be a very inclusive. Training facility and home for the Sky Blues as opposed to what you mentioned like with the English home grounds, English Premier League grounds are very...
I think you said this, they were walled gardens,
yeah,
right?
You know, you'd have to try and jump the fence.
So, yeah, one of the things Danny's keen on and you'll hear in the interview is that it's open, it's inclusive, for the, you know, the fans have a place as well. Last thing before we move on to reviewing our NPL game is squad news... Mitch Langrack's just retired from Socceroos or from international football.
Yep. 32, I think he is.
Yeah.
Quite fairly young for a keeper.
So what implications do we think this may have for goalkeepers getting called up to the Socceroos? You've got Matt Ryan.
He dead set number one.
Redmayne? Because Redmayne was easily number three.
Yeah.
So does he suddenly go up to two?
Maybe him or maybe now we might see Vuka.
Because we know Crawley and Graham Arnold enjoy Andrew Redmayne.
Playing 90 minutes every week, of course.
We need at least three goalkeepers going away.
Yeah.
So you've then got Ryan, who's, you know, on form for Arsenal at the moment.
Yeah, he's getting some time with them.
He is, and he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Redmayne, surely a shoe-in. Danny Vukovic.
And you've got
he's been keeping fit with us.
And you've got and you reminded me of Lawrence Thomas over in
Belgium?
Somewhere in Belgium. So yeah, I'm trying to think, don't take four. And you've got like the likes of, I think Federici's retired.
Yeah. Taliano.
I love you, Redders, but like he necessarily wouldn't be the form keeper, but you wouldn't take a
Do you take the Arsenal cusp of number one, number two as your starting goalkeeper?
Oh, every day.
Sydney FC goalkeeper. Like,
yeah. No offence, Redders, but I think even Andrew would say, yeah, you take Matty Ryan.
Yeah.
Every day. And he's been
just because Arsene Wenger was an idiot and let him go.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, we might see Redders on a plane.
And Vukovic on a plane,
and
potentially.
Vuka as well. So.
Which means for us, going into a final series. Or to an ACL campaign, rather.
Yeah, we may not have them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
More to come, I guess, on this. There's a Socceroos squad announcement in the next weekish.
I think so, yeah.
2 weeks.
I know that the Olleroos today. Which has no FC player.
I'm surprised Joel King was left out,
Joel
to be
might
fair.
Have snuck in there. Got Daniel Arzani. So, yeah.
Yeah, and he's playing in Denmark with... he plays at the same club as Gersbach. I think Aarhus.
I don't know if he's getting much time for them either.
Gersbach or Arzani?
Arzani.
Yeah. Interesting choices.
And the last little bit of squad news that literally came out whilst I was in the car driving here, because I don't touch my phone while I'm driving, is our beloved, and I use that bold, underline, italic, capital letter, beloved Nat Tobin, is off to WA next season. So... they've said for personal and professional reasons, for work and personal reasons. So
she's studying again. Was she
OT teach? Occupational therapist? So maybe work opportunities, boyfriend, partner. I know does exist. There is one, only one. So maybe there's opportunities.
Sorry, Sean.
I had my heart set on it. Sorry, yeah.
Jonathan's gonna love this.
So maybe he's moved for her, but she has signed quite literally for Perth Glory, which is a massive signing for them. They came last, and I mean very last. They didn't win a game last recent W League season. You had Alec Ekabath, who was a great coach there for the Sydney Uni Girls in the NPL 1. So they've got a class, absolute class player in Nat Tobin coming over to Perth Glory, and a leader. I know she's only captained the club once, and she's one from one, but she's been in the Sydney FC since, I think she said 14, 15, so... that's a massive pickup for Perth Glory. You know, we won't begrudge her because
you can't.
Given blood, sweat, and tears to the club. And Nat Tobin, wishing you all the best.
I hope she does well enough to be successful and find contentment, but not too well.
Yeah. And it draws at the most when you play against Sydney FC, if that.
Yeah.
But all the best, Nat, and thank you for your time and service in Sky Blue.
Absolutely. Now, we played Marconi. In the NPL.
See?
6-goal thriller, Sean. Tell us about it.
You know, it was 6-goal thriller. Great from a neutral point of view. The boys were up 3-1.
Yes.
Before a Stallions fight back in the 60 or 65th odd minute. The wonderful Callan Talbot made that kind of darting in behind the left back run that like a Ryan Grant plays and scored the first. But then they couldn't hold off an ex-Sydney FC player in Mitch Marlier, who chalked up their first goal for the Stallions just minutes later. Ivanovic scored. Lukey played in the game. Okay. And a lovely finish from Luke as well. And some Gigic scored a fantastic goal as well. So you're up 3-1 with 20-odd-ish to play, 20-25 minutes to play. And what's probably been a bit of the problem with the young fellas this season, especially in the last half a dozen games, is just, I don't know, pardon the cliche, pardon the layman terms, but defence.
Yeah.
Just, we can score goals and can bang them in. It's just holding them out, even with Pat Flotman in at centre back. So still waiting for that long awaited elusive win, but it's a step in the right direction against a decent, or quite strong Marconi side. I feel like the A-League boys could learn from the youth boys in terms of knocking in goals. I mean, the youth boys could learn from the A-League boys in terms of, you know, solid rock defense. Rock defense, yeah. So, yeah. Look, they've got another tough game coming up, which we'll review in a moment. But preview in a moment. But, look, we'll take the 1 point, take a little bit of momentum, take your medicine from it, take the positives and move on to next week.
Question on behalf of some of the perhaps more in the dark listeners like myself when it comes to MPL. You see people like Paddy Wood, Trent Bahaja once upon a time, Luka Ivanovic doing really well in the MPL squad, banging in goals, solid performances. Is the MPL versus A-League level really that much of a difference?
Oh, look, I'd say in terms of physicality, it wouldn't be that much because MPL, all the other teams, you're basically playing against grown men.
Yeah.
But maybe the speed of the game and then having a quick transition and decision making, that's what would catch some of the younger fellas out. So, yeah.
And that would probably be some of the criticisms when you see a Paddy Wood, a Luka Ivanovic play in the A-League is the swiftness of that decision-making. Mm,
absolutely,
right? Okay, that makes sense because it's one of those things where you just see them excelling at NPL and then that at George Blackwood, great example, many, many years ago, right? Did quite well and then just never really made the leap to the
where
A-League.
Where is he now?
Adelaide.
I know, yeah, but like – I know, but like
– too literal of an answer?
Yeah, is he still playing? Is he getting time?
He was starting once upon a time, yeah, but I think that was pre-COVID.
It's going to withered back into – maybe I should look that up, what's happened to George Blackwood of late. Another game, Jimmy, we had a game against Western United over the weekend.
Goodness.
A 1-0 win, and I watched this game entirety back on replay when I got home after my soccer game. Though our 1-0 win was less controversial than the boys' 1-0 win.
1-0 win courtesy of an Adam Lafondra penalty.
Yeah, in which he scored emphatically. Typical just
how good
punches it in. Too. Not this like little finesse into the corner. He just absolutely...
2.5 years of Alfie.
Yeah, hits it, smashes it into the back of the net. Look, on the balance of things, we deserve the win. You know, if you watch the game, you look at the stats of the game with possession, shots on target. I think shots on target was like... Well, I know shots were like 27 to a measly 7. You know, half a dozen... No, there's about 12 on target to a measly 2. So I don't know what Mark Rodin was blowing up about. Okay, maybe a little bit with the penalty, but you were lucky to, you know, 1-0 flattered them. They were little to nothing in front of, they were pretty impotent in front of goal, Western United.
But they have best up.
it's just a shame. Out. Like, I'll take the 3 points. It's just a shame. I'm not expecting us to pump because I think all our remaining games are against teams below us.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm not saying we should be putting like a cricket score onto these teams, but just 2 or 3 goals to 0 kind of thing. Mm. And what I want to see is, you know, maybe I'm being a bit greedy, a bit fussy, but just scoring from open play.
Have you ever been greedy?
Never. I just want us to score from open play.
I look, the one thing I'd challenge with that kind of comment around teams that are lower behind us, lower than us on the table, is one of those games is Big Blue. One of those games is a derby.
Yeah, so that
where comes form up with, doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. And the tension builds and the suspense and, form goes out the window.
Although, if we go back to our Newcastle win, which was just 1-1, you'll hear some insights from Danny Townsend a little bit later about the reaction in the changing room to that, which one would imagine would carry over from our narrow win again with Western United going into the Big Blue, right? So stay tuned for that. Listen to Danny. It's towards the end of the chat. Great insights about the dressing room. But back to the Western United game, controversial penalty, right? Alfie himself said he didn't think it was a penalty.
No, he came out quite honestly and just casually said, yeah, it wasn't a pen. And earlier in the season gone by, that wasn't a pen. And I must say, watching it back, watching it live, so to speak, on the replay, I thought it was a little bit harsh.
Oh, yeah. I'll take it, but yeah.
He slid down and, like, what do you expect him to do with his arm? And, like, he's not going to – it's not like when you're standing upright and you've got your hands tucked behind your back so you minimise the risk of getting a handball done against you. Like, he's sliding in to block the tank. It came off
as well.
Yeah, so I was just – popped up and hit him, and I was just like, it didn't advantage us that much. And like, yeah, look, I'll take it because in the balance of things, we deserved 3 points. It's just a shame how it came about. But anyway.
I really don't think we did. I've got a different opinion
there. Yeah, 3 points. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take the 3 points. We did dominate the first half.
Oh, we're all over them, right? Like a rash.
Massive like a amount cheap of chance. Like a cheap soup.
Like white on rice.
Like what on rice?
White on rice.
Oh, yes, of course. All over because it. Unless it's brown rice.
Like brown on rice. Yes, got to be inclusive.
Yeah.
Look, some things I have been critical of Bimby before, once or twice, was the substitutions. I thought Trent had a really good game.
I thought he did too. He was full of energy, bursting forward, and then gets taken off.
Yeah, I know there's probably one or two he probably could have, should have put away, but... He hasn't had that much time in the field.
That's the story of Trent Bahadur, though.
He's coming off the bench. He finally gets to start. But, yeah, I just thought, you know, he was the one looking like he had potential to put it into the back of the net if he had been given more time. But it was good to see ABJ come on. Boba for Alfie. I thought Boba had – I thought he was one of the poorest on the field. I thought he was had a really poor game. And maybe he was
gassed.
Yeah, maybe just tired. Give him a rest. Sit him on the pine. And it's no criticism. Just give him a break. Because he wasn't meant to be. I don't think he was meant to be a 90-minute player or close to it when he first signed for us.
No, and now that we've got Adam Lafondra back. Yeah. I mean, obviously Alfie hasn't played in a bit and he's getting back up to match fitness. Look, I like the idea of Adam Lafondra and Bobo playing together just for nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One of our most prolific per 90 goal
strike
scorers.
Force.
Yeah, right. It's just you think about it on paper, even though Bobo's a little bit older now, but you think about it on paper and you go, Bobo and Adam Lafondra up front, that's Suarez Messi. That's, you know, that's Aguero Jesus.
Gives you a bit of a semi, doesn't it?
Oh,
just
yeah.
A little, yeah.
But you can't think of a more lethal duo up front. Unless you were to clone Mark Yanko with himself.
Yeah. There we go.
In A-League history. You really can't. So it's interesting. I did note Costa was still playing slightly behind rather than out on the wing.
Yeah. But I would have taken off Costa. I thought he was linking quite well with Trent in the first half.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
He kind of disappeared a bit in the second half. So I would have subbed off Costa and left on Trent. And I would just left out Retro entirely. I didn't see the point of him coming on, if I can be bluntly honest. But when I first saw, I was able to see the team list, the team starting 11 before I went on to my game. And I saw Bobo, Trent and Costa and then Ninko, Caceres and Bratz. And I thought, is he playing a 4-3-3? Has he changed the formation? And it did look a bit like that in the first half.
It really did. I remember watching it thinking, oh, Sean's head's going to explode.
But then when ABJ came on.
We reverted.
Yeah, we kind of went back to that 2-2-2, which I didn't like. But anyway.
No, it definitely seemed like a switch up in formation. It did seem a bit more aggressive. I like that we played a bit more free-flowing. It seemed a little bit less stunted, if that's the way to describe it. One thing I did want to mention earlier, if I was to sum up our season thus far, it's kind of like whenever we're on the pitch, we're running through treacle.
Treacle?
Warm caramel, right? It's, you know, okay. it's thick, it's sticky, you can still move through it, but it's just kind of holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's like, oh, I'm there, I'm running, but I'm just kind of fighting gravity a little bit, right? And that's just kind of the way it is, I feel, watching us play. is that we're there.
Not as fluid.
Yeah, we're there and the ideas are right and we're trying to do the right thing, but we're just kind of stuck in the mud a little bit. Our feet are a little bit sticky and we try and rush forward or move forward, but it's like, I can't move.
That's why
properly.
I think sometimes we're a bit overcoached and like, this is how to play. This is the tactic. We use our left and right backs. We cross it in. And as I've seen a lot, especially in the last few weeks, teams are kind of sitting a bit deeper and they're waiting for those crosses to come in, header it away and then try and get us on the trends, just like Wanderers did a couple of weeks ago. God forbid that happens again. Look, I won't go through like our shots and whatnot, but you know, Barbaros has had a shot early in the game. Bahaja came so bloody close. Barbaros went again. Bahaja again. Ninko
they basically
had a
chance. Shots each in the first half.
But look, they had really little to nothing, Western United. And I dare say, and I thought maybe they needed to win this game in order to keep themselves in that finals contingent. I think that was the nail in the coffin. You won't see them in finals this year. No.
Adam Lafondra did have a good chance for his first game back in a couple of months. That chip that just was saved.
Oh, towards, I can't remember the keeper's name.
Scott.
But he ended up getting like man of the match kind of thing. Yeah. You know, we plan these keepers into great form and making them look, probably dare say, better than what they really are.
Yeah.
But once again, you know, Jimmy, we dominate possession, we dominate field position. We just
a little bit impotent in front of goal.
Absolutely, man. You know, it's not one person's fault. Like I've talked about Costa. Bobo looked tired. I think he looked pretty gassed on the weekend. Alfie's coming back, but I don't want to put all our eggs in one basket with Alfie. But
when you kind of think about the last two seasons, they kind of were.
Yeah.
They were all in the Adam Lafondra basket.
Yeah, 20-something plus goals each.
And we all said that at the beginning of this year. We need Costa to step up. We need Trent and Pat Wood and Ivanovic. And we need the youth to start firing and Costa to start, you know, actually scoring more goals. And we've ended up with a 37-year-old striker and Adam Lafondra back.
Yeah.
Right? Because it just didn't happen. So I think that's a valid point you've got.
I think Bobo just needs a break. Maybe sit out for an entire game, you know, start Alfie. I think Trent was really good. I'd love to see him start again Saturday and or Sunday. Sunday. You know, I'd love to see Paddy Wood get some time. It feels like forever and a day since we've seen him start or get some time on the A-League field. But one thing I was really happy and cheering about was an obvious tactic that we had with Diamante. We shut him down like a bitch. And he's a lovable character off the field and a bloody great player on the field. But it was an obvious and rightly so, tactic to just have like 2-3, just swarm him and just shut him down so he couldn't get those balls and through balls and whatnot. And even foul him when he's trying to get that quick transition and release it early. Just foul him, just drop him down and then just gives us time to reset. So that was an obvious tactic and a bloody good one too, and it was effective, you know, 99.9% of the time. But we'll take the 3 points because it was needed, because that top six – it's about like 7-8 teams trying to fit into five other spots because, you know, City's got their
so far
Premier's
away
plate pretty much sealed up. FFCU votes, James.
You've got to go 3 for Adam Lafondra, don't you?
I don't have to. But you can.
Do. You do.
You can.
Ninko had some beautiful moments, so he gets 2. And McGowan? I think he did okay.
Yeah.
I don't think Ninko gets 3. Actually, I don't think Alfie gets 3. But in lieu of being able to pick one or two other players that deserve 1 or 2, I'll just go with 3 each.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Bratz with 2 and Ninko 2. I also thought Anthony had a good game on Caceres, and I was really happy with Joel King. I think Joel King had one of his best games this season. I thought he was quite good.
And further shout out to Joel King for just being an absolute king. You know, Michael Zillo still not back.
Yeah.
We understand he's working towards it and fingers crossed. But yeah.
Look, I think everyone actually had a good game. I thought maybe Costa not so much in the second half, and I thought Bobo was probably his poorest. But everyone else had a solid game, maybe not Sean exceptionally, but you know, Ninko still doing Ninko things and Braddon still doing Braddon things. All right, let's jump ahead.
Who are your votes?
Oh, no, I said that. I said Braddon 2, Ninko 2, Joel and Anthony 1 each.
Yeah, no, didn't get the numbers from you.
There you go.
Excellent. So they're our that's our wrap-up, I guess. What we'll do now is before we go into our previews for our upcoming games, we're going to share with you a chat we just had literally kind of half an hour ago with Sydney FC CEO Danny Townsend, who was kind enough to pop into the Hills podcast studio here at Bella Vista Hotel for a quick chat. So please enjoy and we'll see you on the other side. Today on Sky Blue Stories, we're joined by a very special guest. This appearance makes him the clear leader in guest appearances on Sky Blue Stories and also the cumulative leader on guest appearance rating metrics. Some say he doesn't get out of bed for anything less than a considered, coordinated and integrated marketing campaign. Others say he's never been to Western Sydney. All we know is he beat Sean's under-12 girls youth team. Danny Townsend. Thanks for joining us, mate.
We did win that.
No, you didn't. Can you
cover that again?
You chino wearing. So-and-so.
Yeah, come on. Well, thank you for having me on again, guys. It's great to hear that I'm leading in the metrics, particularly over Broski, I think.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Broski.
Too easy.
Couple of apologies. First, we've kept you about half an hour gas bagging.
Yeah, it's okay.
Second, Sean and I both had the Lamb Rogan Josh for dinner. Right. So that's probably why we're a little bit glassy all over the face.
Yeah, sorry, we're in a closed environment at really? The moment, so just okay. A heads up.
Can we get the door open, please? No.
But no, seriously, thank you. I know you're down the road, but thanks for coming in and spending some time.
Pleasure, guys.
Look, Danny, we'll get straight to it. We won't muck about. You're a ridiculously busy man. Never a dull day in the land of Sydney SC. You've had the foundation dinner, Sky Park, Alfie returning. We're off, more or less, to Uzbekistan.
More or less.
How have you been? Like, when do you sleep? When do you see your family? Do they know you're still alive?
Well, that works for them. That they don't see me. That's why I've been married for 20 years this year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, look, I think, it's never a dull moment in football, full stop, and at Sydney FC it's no different. And there's a lot going on at the club at the moment. It's been a really interesting year, particularly coming out of COVID and still dealing with some of the I suppose, challenges that's thrown up for a club. But and then obviously the wider activity going on at the league and what's happening there is really important for us all to get right. So, yeah, a lot going on and some really exciting things we're working on.
And this past week we've had the Sydney FC Foundation, the inaugural dinner. Can you just explain to that our listeners a little bit about what that is if they didn't see the stuff on Twitter and the like?
Yeah, we've had the Sydney FC Foundation for a number of years. We kept a pretty low profile with it, frankly, and it was largely around really finding a purpose for the foundation, ensuring that we could give back to the community. We have significant community initiatives across the club already, but we wanted to really have something that we could tie the foundation to publicly. And that's when, with the Sky Park announcement and all the things that will come with that amazing facility for our club, but more importantly, the community, being able to then go out and raise the funds through the foundation to deploy a lot of those community initiatives was really important. And it was such a great experience to see so many people in a room at the Star on Friday night and to see people who really want to give back to the game and give back to some of those that don't have some of the same opportunities that a lot of our players and others have had over the years coming through Sydney FC.
Yeah, the focus is on talented young footballers, male and female. We'll get to a bit more of females because of Sky Park and this centre of excellence. What kind of strategies and methods are in place there to support our young footballers coming through?
Look, the Sydney FC Academy has been around for a long time. And like I said on Friday night, one of the things that concerned me a lot when I came to the club was that Academy was a boys-only academy and it was important for our board and for Scott and myself to have an elite academy that serviced both genders and frankly it was really something that we needed to do. We wanted to do and we wanted to do it in a facility that was befitting of that academy. So providing those facilities to them, we need our young kids coming through with world class facilities. That's what we expect at Sydney FC. We've made good with what we've had for the first 5 years of that academy's existence, but it's now time to take it to the next level, and Sky Park will give us that opportunity. Look, and the foundation, frankly, is an opportunity for others to provide support. I think a lot is sort of accepted by what David Tretkovenko and Scott Barlow and the family have done for our club over the last 16 years, not just their financial commitment, but their emotional commitment, their time commitment. Yeah. Like, I see the amount of time Scott and Alina put into this club. It's extraordinary, and they've been doing it for a very long time. And there's also, so I think part of the foundation is to say, well, what else can other people do? How can we sort of broaden the net to get more people involved in providing us support to go and do some of these things, not just for the elite kids, but for a lot of the other segments of the community that don't get access to what they should in football. And this is a really new opportunity for us to do that.
Is it too early to ask where to next for the foundation? You know, we've seen a lot of great academy boys go through the age groups and make their A-League debut, whether it be a Joel King or a Callum Neuenhoff, Paddy Wood, great example, great North Shore boy. And now with the women's coming in the next year or so, where to next for their foundation?
Look, it's going to be an ongoing thing. This was an inaugural dinner. Like I said, the foundation's been in place for about 5 years prior to it becoming sort of a public organisation. We're going to continue to raise money for great causes. And it's to be fair, it's less about the elite. It's about all the other things that we do around the club that give others an opportunity to experience some of the great things that Sydney FC brings to the football community. Facilities is important for that, and even just talking to people from the players from Macquarie Dragons, who are a local club in the area there at Macquarie, that are now going to be the beneficiaries of those synthetic pitches and be able to play on those, and you know, just seeing them, you know, eyes light up knowing that they're going to have a facility that at a community level they're going to be able to use, that is the same facility that our Elite Academy will use, that our A-League and W-League will use. So yeah, it's a really it's really nice to be able to open Sydney FC up to more people. It's very different to some of the, you think about the Premier League elite training facilities, they're like the big brick walls around them. And
yeah, it's a gated community, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And we're not about that. Our club's an inclusive one, and we sort of take our role in delivering an experience for football people in Sydney. And the more people who can benefit from that, the better.
Nice. So there's a lot there on Sky Park, and look, let's start at the top, the name, right? Beautiful, symbolic, short, sweet. Who came up with it, and can you let us know any of the other ideas that were perhaps left on the cutting room floor? I'm thinking Blue Lagoon, Sydney Illuminati Central, you know, crazy things like that.
It was funny. I tell you where it came about is we were at our at the end of COVID, we had our shortened versions of the Sky Blue Ball. Because the restrictions were in place, we weren't allowed to have our normal 1,000-person events at the Star. We had a smaller just for club employees and players, and we've been throwing around a few names at the table. I think Broski and his wife were at the table, myself and my wife, and Scott and his wife, and we were just throwing around ideas, and Sky Park came up, and we did a straw poll of the 10 people sitting at our table. Yeah. And we all loved it, so that was pretty much it. But prior to that, it was actually called the Anchorage.
The Anchorage?
Yeah.
It sounds a bit... Oh no, I can't say that.
What? I didn't hear that.
Scientology.
Oh, okay. Can you say that? I don't know. But no, look.
What's the origins of that name?
Well, because obviously Harbour City, you know, but equally the putting down an anchor was really important. We're actually putting roots down for our club. And when you put a boat into a safe harbour, an anchorage, you put your anchor down. But we felt in the end that it wasn't aspirational enough. It was a bit old school, and you know, Sky Park is all about aspiration and creating an environment where kids can just sky is the limit type of stuff, as corny as that sounds.
Cheesy, but true. It's beautiful sentiment.
I actually like both of them. I totally get why you went with Sky Park, and I totally think it's the better choice. But if you didn't come up with it, the Anchorage still would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, look, I think... Like,
was there a terrible name that everyone just scoffed at?
I'm just trying to think now. I'm sure there was plenty of them. I can't remember. Let me.
You
come
were probably
back
a few wines down at that stage. So
I'd say we probably were. It was midway through the evening. Yes, yeah, so
it's an athlete. Yeah, exactly. He plays coaches.
Former athlete. Know, I'm just
yeah, it's empty, mate. So over the years, we've heard Olympic Park being touted, Tempe, as potential kind of areas and locations for this. What put Macquarie Uni over the edge? Was it purely proximity?
No, look, it was a number of different things. Taking you through the process, we originally supposed to be based in the new stadium. So we were building a centre of excellence as part of the new stadium, and we were ideally going to be using the fields over on Moor Park West. Mm-hmm. What became clear is that the Centennial Parklands Trust and the SCG Trust would never align to a point where we'd be able to get the field usage we require. Having a centre of excellence without field usage for a football club ain't going to work. Yeah. So we moved on from that. Then we went out to Tempe. We looked at that great space. Challenging environment to develop, and it was going to take a lot of money and a lot of effort.
Because of the next to the airport, or yeah, it's a bit of a floodplain?
It's a floodplain. Yeah. It was also a lot of community football played on those fields, and what we didn't want to do was go somewhere where we're going to displace community football.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what we don't want to do. We don't want to go in and say, hey, Sydney FC is coming in, all you young footballers that are using these fields now,
and bugger
yeah,
off.
Go yeah, go away. So we were very conscious of that, and that would have been a pretty big part of that Tempe area to move those kids off, and we didn't want to do that. So that fell away. We looked at Leichhardt. We looked at taking Leichhardt Oval and doing something there, the stadium, okay. Yeah, yeah. And using the Leichhardt number 2 and
fields some behind of those it, fields Glover Street.
Glover yep. Street, yeah, yep. Exactly.
Played there on the weekend.
Did you?
Nice 1-0 win. Yep.
1-0 win,
yeah,
goal.
Yeah, I got the assist.
Danny would have kicked your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I was there, I watched it. Yeah. There's no in goal.
No. I'll take it.
So look, I think that one was also complex, right, because yeah, it's the number of fields compared to the number of registered players in CDSFA is also challenging, right? So every association has their own issues around getting access to fields. So Macquarie was always an option for us because we've been there 8 years, 9 years now, I think. The Winterfield A-League, W-League training field is in situ. Like, and they're expensive fields to build from scratch, to have an A-League, W-League quality field. So that always put it sort of at the top of the list, because at the end of the day it's about playing football. Mm. Yeah, you can build a great building anywhere, but having access to the fields was most critical. And then if you know the space up there at Macquarie Sports Facility, the back corner northern field was a cricket field, and it just was not getting used as much. And we wanted to change that into two rectangles. It was a perfect spot to put the two synthetics. There's another football field there, there's the two university fields. Yep. So the flex that we've got there to be able to go and use our fields and then also flex out to some other fields if we want to host, you know, youth tournaments and things like that where you might need 6, 7, 8 fields, you've got the capability to do that there. And then you've got proximity, you know, it's 15 minutes from the stadium, you know, when you go in, yep, into the Eastern Distributor and the M2 and you're there pretty quickly. Yep. And for our players who tend to live all over Sydney, access,
it's fairly central.
Yeah, yeah. So look, we're really happy there. You know, we've been there a long time. The boys are familiar with it. The girls are familiar with it. Our academy parents are familiar with it. They've been taking their kids there for a bunch of years, so there's less disruption to, you know, their lives. So yeah, we finally, it did take a while to negotiate with Macquarie to get it done, which is why we held back. I was copying a bit of stick on social media about me telling it was coming. Yeah. It was coming, but we just couldn't talk about it because we'd lose leverage in the commercial deal we were trying to do with Macquarie. So,
and your Twitter is so well frequented by the fan base too. I see you up at, like, you know, 12:30, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning after a game, yeah, engaging with people. I'm like, the guy, yeah, that's, needs to
I
sleep.
Can't go to sleep after a football match. You got to, it's still. Yeah,
you're buzzing. Like,
you're buzzing, so I might as well get cops some still abuse knocks. And have a laugh with some people, wind a few people up. But I typically, that's my end of day ritual, is get into bed and deal with people either, yeah, with misinformation and try and provide some information that's factual or you know, defend things or wear things. You know, if stuff's happened that our fans haven't liked, you know, like I said to you before, you've just got to put your hand up and go, yeah, we didn't play very well, or that didn't work out, or, you know, our fans have got high expectations and that's what makes them great.
Now, in roughly a year's time when it's built, give or take a little, will there be an opportunity for the fans, you know, maybe the members, to rock up and visit it and get a bit of a tour and
absolutely
check it out?
Yeah, yeah, look, like I said, it's an open-door policy, and the reason we've built it that way is that we want members and fans to come along and watch training, and we've put tiered seating out the front, so it will have a cafe there where, you know, people can come in and cool, look at the trophies, and there's going to be a museum's probably a bit of a stretch, but it'll be a you know, the whole atrium lobby part will have a history of the club and all the milestones, cool, and trophies that we've won. And, yeah, it'll be a really cool experience.
And is it fair to say we're going to see a Broski bronze statue or a Graham Arnold or a Danny Towns, maybe a Teresa Polias statue out the front or something like that?
How smooth was that? Just sucking, like throwing in the suck up Danny Townsend statue.
Right, but he did that with a look names. In his face like he was taking the piss, but that's okay.
I thought he was a glint, to be honest. I thought he was flirting.
No, he wasn't. But no, look, please. There'll be no statues at Sky Park. There may be statues at the stadium, but not at Sky Park.
Okay. Oh, Danny, you sly dog.
Because like you said, it's very inclusive. We don't want to...
Exactly. We don't have to put people up on a pedestal. But our Hall of Fame players will be very clearly laid out there in terms of, you know, celebrated their achievements at Sky Park. So they'll be definitely that.
Look at him. Just there might be one of the new... clever boy. So it seems like construction's coinciding with the off-season while the guys are at the ACL. Where are they training in the meantime?
There'll be no disruption to training because the building that they're currently in will remain in situ. The training field will remain in situ. The development's down the side of the field. So that's why it sort of all worked. We could go through the 10 months to build it without any disruption to the training.
That's brilliant build too. That's great.
Yeah, it'll be done quickly. Like it's not often you announce something and you break ground the next month, but we've known that we were going to break ground in late June. We just needed to work out the commercial arrangement with Macquarie and that's happened now, so we're able to announce it. And the building tender's in place at the moment. We'll make that decision in the next couple of weeks and we'll be away.
I assume you mentioned the ability to kind of flex with the fields. I assume there's ability to flex with the facilities as well, should we kind of grow. You know, it will obviously never be the Premier League, but should we as a league, club, et cetera, grow and whatnot, you know, you knock up another one and...
Yeah, I think obviously we need to be cognizant of it's university land. So anything we do beyond the stage one of Sky Park will then require further approvals from Macquarie. But they've been great. They see the value of what we're bringing into the precinct. The facility is going to be world class, and that's something that the uni can be proud of as well. So I think from that perspective, we've been really happy with the way they've engaged with us and what they've afforded us from the land and all those things. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be additional phases to this project over many years.
Yeah, cool. And so if we're talking about kind of short, long-term future of the club, what's this enable us to do that we couldn't do before?
Just a lot of – well, one, it's certainty.
Yep.
You're putting down an anchor, anchorage. Oh, putting down an anchor, there we go. We're putting our roots down, let's say.
Thanks, Dad.
For 25 years, right? Yep. We've signed a 25-year lease there. So, everyone knows – where we are, what we're doing, we can build, a facility that's going to be there for a long, long time. And with that becomes the ability to commit to programs and commit to things that we couldn't otherwise do. Female Academy is that. We just didn't have the facilities, the change rooms, all those things that you need to put on Elite Academy for both genders. And, frankly, the boys' facilities were poor. Trying to then layer in a female academy when you didn't have adequate facilities in the first place makes it really, really hard. So, those type of things, we want to do a lot more educational programs there. We want to do a lot more work with our charitable partners like Football United. They run a lot of football programs around Sydney and have to go on higher fields. They're a charity and they're going to higher fields. And that's all about assimilating refugees through football. Being able to host those now and give them a home is a really nice thing that we can do.
Absolutely fantastic. And, of course, the female academy, the Sydney FC female academy. Is it going to mirror exactly the boys' academy? Are we going to expect to see women, Sydney FC women, competing in the NPL, NSW competition?
As you'd appreciate, that's not that simple. And the reason for that is that we're still in the process of working through how that works with Football New South Wales and frankly, with the Western Sydney Wanderers and MacArthur, is how we all orientate around the NPL. And as you'd appreciate, that the female game has a different level of depth than the male game. And if you think about us coming into the male NPL, we were able to go around and take the best talent out of the clubs that were in the NPL already and put them in our programs, and they would still be left with a talent pool that would make them competitive. What we don't want to do is go in and sort of rip the heart out of the existing NPL clubs by taking all their best talent, and what's left behind doesn't sustain it.
Yeah, because that kind of clashes with the New South Wales Institute, and which is kind of what they do. They somewhat take the best talent from the clubs, they trial and whatnot. So it almost would be a clash there of sorts.
Well, I think if you look back at what happened with the New South Wales Institute for Boys, when the A-League team set up their academies, that disbanded.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of that. When is the right time for the W-League clubs to take up the development pathway mantle? Is it now? Is it 5 years from now? You know, at APL, if I put my APL hat on for 1 second, you know, the W-League and investment in the W-League right now is critical. We've got 2023 coming.
Yeah.
The eyes of the world are going to be on Sydney and Australia and New Zealand for that matter. And, you know, we're going to want to make sure we're prepared to take advantage of that opportunity. And you can't wait until 23 to do that. You've got to invest ahead of it and you've got to put these things in place now, because when that show comes to town for 20 days and it leaves, women's football will still be here in Australia. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure it's well equipped to take advantage of that opportunity.
Now, also with the connection with Macquarie Uni, are we going to see a working relationship with them? Will there be maybe opportunities for scholarships or, you know, players to go do degrees, because that will help them with life during and, of course, beyond football?
Yeah, we already have that relationship with Uni of New South Wales, who've been an unbelievable supporter of our club for a long, long time.
They're a short sponsor, are they?
They were, but they're still a major partner of the club. They do a lot in the academy space for us now. And you know, we for many years have had a relationship with them whereby our players get preferential access to the degrees of choice. So we work really closely with them on providing life after football opportunities, how we can prepare them for life after football whilst they're playing. So, for example, our academy players get ATAR bumps for Uni New South Wales in their HSC, because the uni recognise that these kids are alpha kids. They work really hard. They're dedicated. They're disciplined. Mm. It's very hard to juggle being an elite footballer who's training seven times a week in an A-League academy and trying to study for maths. So there's inevitably going to be a bit of a trade-off there. Yep. And the university recognise that they're the type of people they want at their university. And, you know, Uni New South Wales have always looked at it that way, and they've been a fantastic partner for that reason. But look, Macquarie Uni being now a place where we're calling home, I'm sure we'll open up similar opportunities for both their students but equally our players.
Okay.
Mm. That's actually really good to hear, right? It makes perfect sense, like, why penalise a kid who has the potential to do something left of field and out of the ordinary just because they didn't do, you know, as much advanced calculus as the guy next to them.
Because they were in the car driving out to training, you know.
Four or five times a week at the crack of dawn and late at night.
It's a big commitment they make. The parents make a huge commitment. The kids make a huge commitment. So, you know, the uni recognise that and reward them with that ATAR bump that could be the difference between them getting into the course they want and not.
Mm. There's also a lecture theatre.
Yes.
What's that about?
It's a running podcast.
Yes. Well, I was going to ask that. That was another question. Where's the podcast studio?
Dave was after our job.
He's next door to Dave Warriner's office.
Yeah. And it's the Dave Warriner hour.
You guys want to do well, though.
Hear me listening to this. No,
I love you, Dave. Poor bastard.
No, so look, part of that is the educational piece. We've got a relationship with Cedar College, which has essentially been a secondary alternative education program that we've done for quite some years now. We want to expand that into tertiary education and being, you know, bridging courses for certain, you know, individuals who may not have made their first university preference, and expanding those programs requires facilities to take those courses in. We want to run coaching education courses. We want to do lots of different things for the community out of that lecture theatre, and that will give us the flexibility.
Yeah, it can run A licences, B licences, C licences, community courses and the like. Yeah, absolutely.
So you can do that. You can essentially get RTOs in as well. And yeah, okay. That's, nice. Yeah.
Right for you, Jimmy.
Yeah. It's just I'm pulling pieces of puzzles, right? One thing we add on Twitter as well, is there a grandstand of sorts? Any potential to hold games there, public, you know, kind of members to watch?
Yeah, look, so along the I suppose, the sideline in between the building and Winterfield, there'll be some tiered seating.
Yeah,
terracing,
okay.
Terracing,
yeah.
Probably the word. So that'll be comfortable for people to watch. There'll be a balcony as well, obviously, at the front of the building that you can stand on or sit on and watch.
Is that kind of like the balcony over the footy fields at the moment? But
yeah.
Similar sort of layout.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then over on the synthetics, you know, at the moment there isn't any grandstand seating, which is why you can't play NPL there yet. But part of when you talk about a phase two is to make them compliant to be able to play NPL there. But the facility itself, the field and all those things will be NPL compliant. the lighting MPL compliant. So the only thing we wouldn't be compliant on is the 500 seats that you're required to have an MPL. But
that's, are they all synthetic fields or hybrid and some turf as well?
Well, you'll have the grass field on Windsor Field. That will remain the same. Well, there'll be two synthetic fields, which will be where it's sort of the academy, both male female are based. And then you've got a grass field, Campbell Field, which is in situ actually at the moment, which is just a grass field. And then you've got the other two Winter Field, the other two university fields down the bottom, which are sort of multi-purpose fields.
You're getting FIFA certification for those synthetics?
Yeah.
How's that work with COVID?
Oh, you just say, can I have a FIFA certification? Cut it out of the back of the cereal packet, in a way. There's independent companies that do the testing that, as long as you meet the criteria you're in.
Guess the guy in the room that's not scared of FIFA listening to this podcast.
I'm not scared of FIFA.
He's got a thick skin. Since the announcement, maybe even before when there's still the rumblings, have any players started making demands and things they want to see or have their, you know, perks, you know? Any demand?
No, not really. Not that I can think of. Look, we only presented to the players last Friday morning. So the morning that we announced
it. And they received it really well?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, does Bratz want a virtual golf room or something?
Yeah, probably asked for that. Yeah.
Little putting green or something.
Yeah, putting green, yeah. Ryan Grant wanted a wave pool, but there's lots of different stuff that we couldn't deliver on. But look, I think they're just grateful that they're going to be in a world-class environment. Yeah. Like, you know.
To rock up to their office, so to speak, each week, each day, you know.
But it's not just the players, it's the coaching staff. Yeah. It's, you know, it's our chef. You know, George has been operating out of like a real dodgy kitchen and he's going to walk into a, you know, commercial grade
Michelin star kind of thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then he's going to serve up toasted sandwiches. So you know, like, but everyone from, you know, just the staff in the membership department, whether you're in marketing or operations, to turn up at one place that is your home and all of your home. So when, you know, the ability for us to drive culture, when you've got the players walking past the marketing team, at the moment they sit on opposite sides of the city. It's very hard for people to have empathy around each other's roles and responsibilities when they never see each other. So to be able to bring everyone together and put them into a brand new facility that...
What a buzz.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Buzz. Are there any players you're most nervous about, like, you know, trashing the place, you know, when it's a... brand new, fresh digs, and it's fresh and clean, and someone's going to walk in with muddy boots or...
Well, Khan's left a couple of years ago, so... Okay. Yeah, he would probably make a mess in there. But, now look, the guys are... You know, our culture is all about respect, right? So you might look at that glorified toilet block that is the Blue Barclay building where we've been based for the last 8 years, but you go into the players' dressing room and it is immaculate.
Yeah.
You know, that part of the culture is we respect what we have, and although it might not be the best, you know, best facility in the world, it's our facility, and the guys have treated it that way, and this will be no different. I think we're all just excited to get into something that's new and world class.
Yeah, we're already almost halfway through this year, which is a bit scary to say, but 2022 is a big year for the club. Sky Park and whatnot. New stadium, of course. You know, that's a podcast for another day. Jeez, we could talk to you lyrical about that. What are you most looking forward to when it comes to this glorious club coming next year?
I think they're the two things. Like, for us to in the same year move into two world-class facilities, and having gone through the 4 years by then of displacement from Allianz, and just seeing what our fans have gone through in having to support us from... You know, if you're living on the Northern Beaches, to get to Cogra is an effort. You know, and if you're living in, you know, in Cronulla to get to Leichhardt, it's an effort.
Yeah.
And our fans have made the effort, and to be able to bring them all back into a facility that's central, that's in our spiritual home in Moore Park, that's just going to be something to behold and something that we'll cherish for a long time.
Yeah, when the Cove call out, you know, the boys from Moore Park Road, the Aldi sing that right there.
In actually Moore Park.
Yeah,
Moore Park.
It's going
to
be...
with their backs to Moore Park Road.
Yeah, exactly. Bay 23. Yeah, it's going to be...
Are we keeping the bay numbers?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Sorry, that was off script. That was...
And that was probably something I shouldn't have told you, but...
Yes. Oh. Do you want me to cut it?
Cut it. No.
Cool.
Who cares?
Yeah, sorry. That
I've leaked it.
Dave, if you're listening, I'm sorry that was not on the pre-approved.
I haven't even seen the pre-approved questions anyway.
You need a new media manager.
How good. So one thing you did mention last time is that... The great thing about the club is Dave, as in Tractor Van Gogh,
yep.
invests, he puts money in, he's got a passion for the club, that type of thing. We're relatively back to normal here in Sydney. It's obviously been a rough kind of 12, 18 months type getting on there. How's the club tracking? Like, how have we survived?
Yeah, look, I think one of the most proudest things about my time at the club was we sort of made a commitment to each other at the start of COVID that we wanted to come out the other side as we went in, right? Mm-hmm. So as a group, we didn't want to lose jobs. We wanted to stand people down. We wanted to keep the lights on. We wanted to make sure that, you know, a club sticks together, you know, and it would have been easy to make some decisions during that time that would have preserved, you know, certain parts of the club and maybe jettison some of it, because that's what a lot of other clubs did. And mm-hmm. But our view was always, and this was sort of led from the top, from the board, was, you know, my position with the board was, this is what I want to do. And they were so supportive of it. And what that meant is that we needed everyone at the club, players, coaches, admin, to also, you know, take a breath and take some pain, but making sure that we all got through it as a collective. And we didn't shed one job during that time. And we didn't kill one program. All of our programs continued. All of our staff stayed. We didn't, you know, we didn't lose anybody, and we came out the other side, and we're all now, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, on the other side of this pandemic, and working towards a really interesting and bright future with these amazing projects that are literally 12 months away from completion. And it would have been really sad to limp into those two things and to be able to go into them with all the people that have been with the club for a long time. But equally, you know, our members, you know, you think about what the members went through. Like, members probably didn't get the value for money that they would have expected normally. I think we had one email from a member, one, saying, can I have my money back? Now, that says it all, right? That just shows that, you know, when a club...
Did you invite them not to renew?
no, I paid their membership for them and let them stay. But no, look, at the end of the day, like, that to me said it all. When your whole, you know, we got 17,000 members, and for one email to come in and say, I didn't get what I paid for, can I have my money back, is pretty phenomenal. And that says a lot about, I suppose, the goodwill the club's built up with their
the culture base,
the culture of all those that are involved with the club. So it's been a tough time, but it's been rewarding for everyone, I think, because it's probably galvanized the club. And we'll look back on this moment probably 5 years from now and go, remember COVID? You know, what a nightmare. But, you know, we're proud the way we worked through it.
You didn't have any kind of Bitcoin millionaires come in and want to...
No.
Shame. No. Now, we're obviously... It's just you me, Sean, here today, usually joined by Jonathan. Mm. You're in his seat.
Yeah. Permanently.
We've said some things about him that we don't have on air, and that's fine. But I'm not sure if you're aware, Jonathan's favourite game when we have a guest in... is to open up his phone book and go, oh, you know, Broski and Andrew Redmayne, and I was talking to Terry McFlynn the other day. And
just dropping, you know, names all over the place.
You know, Danny Townsend and I, you know, occasionally never text. And so to put Jonathan in his place, given that you're in his chair, who's the most famous people in your phone book?
Oh, gee. Was this, were you meant to give me a warning on this?
Well, you did say ask me anything.
Oh, do you know what? Well, there's a million players in there, obviously.
Tom Brady. So yeah.
I wouldn't put players in there because they're
it's Hugh Jackman or something like that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
How good. Jonathan.
Is there a Hemsworth in there?
No, there's no Hemsworth. Oh. No.
That's something Hemsworth to aspire to. Yeah, no. Sky Park.
No, I'm in his phone though.
Yeah.
Get that up, you Jono.
No.
Just a bit of fun. Yeah. So last one, we're at the business end of the season, cusp of finals time. Yep. What's your message to the listeners, to the fans?
Yeah, we've got a game tonight. Well, when this comes tonight, out, we've got Big Blue and then a derby, like the two big games,
right?
Fixtures, and then finals in the next few games.
Yeah, I think we've got to win three of our last four to probably – you know, secure second, and that's the real goal for the team at the moment, is getting that, you know, that semi-final, home semi-final. Absolutely. Which gives you one game away from, you know, playing for a third straight title, which would be just unbelievable.
Record-breaking.
And I think this group have shown that they love breaking records, and, you know, it's been a challenging year for every team. So, you know, City have done a fantastic job. They've clearly been the standout team. You know, I think we've grafted out games this year. It's been a bit harder for us. Not, you know, last couple of years we've sort of felt really comfortable, and you know, we were leading games easily for lots of times. I think this year we've really probably made it hard for ourselves, and I think the players know what they're capable of. And you look at – I always play this game before every match. I look at their starting 11, I look at ours, and I see how many players of theirs I would want instead of ours. And I still always – Yeah, we've said that before.
Like there'd be little to no one from our starting 11 that you'd say, nah, I'd rather so and so in that opposition team to come across.
That's right. Yeah. So I think, you know, we know what group we've got. We know what they're capable of. We're third with four games to go, and could probably secure second. Just, you know, it's in our destiny, really, those last four games. If we run second, well, if we finish in the, we get in the finals, which, you know, touch wood, we get the job done and we're in the finals, then I don't think there's too many teams that are going to want to play us.
Yep.
No, that's fair enough.
We're finals built, aren't we? Yeah.
Well, and look, the guys are winners, right? Yeah. And it's interesting when you get have a bad result and you read some Twitter around, oh, they didn't this, they didn't show up, they didn't like that. I said, yeah, I go into the dressing rooms and I see the pain. Like, these guys hate losing, hate it. And they, you know, after the game at Newcastle, it was – yeah, it was a draw, right?
It felt like a loss.
And we got robbed because of the Bobo penalty. Those guys, well, I've never seen so many angry people, because they just know that they just expect to win, because they know they're good enough, they know they work hard enough. Mm. And when the result just doesn't go your way, then, you know, you're obviously upset. And it was good to see. Like, I walked in there, and as angry and as animated everyone was, just shows how much they care. Mm. And that's why when I sort of read stuff and someone's like having a pop at them for not caring, it's like, no, you got to see how these guys are built. It's in their DNA. That's why they're at our club. You know, we only bring winners to this football club, and those guys are winners. So they'll be there when the whips are cracking.
Well, it's a big game tonight for those who are listening, against the hated from the other side of the border. Mm. So we're looking to get, you know, that 1-0 we had against them a couple of weeks ago. You know, we want to put a few more on them this time around. And, of course, our arch nemesis this Saturday. And these are our last two home games of the season. So we want a massive turnout.
Yeah, look, it'd be great to see. Look, it's our only game in the eastern suburbs in Moore Park this year.
Yeah.
And we've obviously missed being in Moore Park. I know the SCG is not the best football pitch to
I know you've been asked what orientation we're going to have.
It'll be the same as what we had last time. So
like, it matters, guys. Just get there to the game.
Absolutely. Get to the game. It's going to be awesome. You know, it's an important 3 points for the club, and we want the boys to get as much support as they can. We want a derby atmosphere to be there. The ticket sales so far are looking great. So, we're looking for a good turnout. But we've got to get the 3 points against the Victory tonight first, and if we can do that, then we'll be in good position for Sunday afternoon, and onward and upward from there.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Thanks for joining us, Danny.
Pleasure. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, guys.
And that was Danny Townsend. Sean, good bloke.
Absolute legend.
And something we didn't do, if anyone from the club is listening, as a result of, you know, having Danny on, if you see him wandering around the hallways, please thank him for the beer.
Yes. Yep. My shout next time, Danny. Moving on, speaking of Danny, Sydney United, his old club back in the day. The NPL boys, like that segue. Good job, Sean. Sunday, I'll give myself a pat on the back.
Someone's got to. It's such an underappreciated co-host.
Sunday. Sunday, 23rd of May, kickoff at 6:30 over at Rockdale. Sydney United doing very well, sitting well inside the top four. It's going to be a battle on the hands, all men on deck. It's going to be tough for the young fellas playing against Sydney United. I think I can't remember what their previous results have been, but I remember last year they towered them up pretty damn well. So, look.
Derby day as well.
Yeah, so that might, you know, Patrick Yazbek will probably there be in the A-League squad because Callum's out, so he bit might find himself on the bench as well.
Woody would be out. Ivanovic would be out.
Possibly, yeah. So they might find it tough for Jimmy to have some of those
kind of fringe players.
Fringe, missing. On the fence, A-League NPL players.
Although, I can't remember, but from the lineup, who did we miss as a result of having Adam Lafondre back?
Good question.
Sorry.
I'll have to look at that. Yeah, no, we'll get lineup. To that.
So a couple of the youth team and NPL kids obviously will be on our bench, given that it's the derby. Around the same time. So that affects the lineup, obviously affects results potentially.
Ivanovic
was missing?
Yep.
Okay, so we kept Pat Wood.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, so so maybe Ivanovic will find himself there on Sunday night.
Which, you know, wouldn't be a bad shout after a solid performance last game.
Last game against McConaughey, right? Scoring a goal.
Who are the key matchups, big people to watch?
Look, Sydney United have quite a few ex Sydney FC players. They're a talentless side. United will be well and truly inside the top four this year, if not maybe banging down the door for the premiership. Look, anything. If we get a draw out of this game and take a point away from Rochdale, it will be a good day. It will be a good game for the boys.
So you'd be happy with the draw?
Absolutely. Like, you always strive for the win. Always want 3 points. But if you can get a draw and share the points with Sydney United, regardless of where you are on the table, it's almost happy days.
The Jose Mourinho School of Management. Play for the draw, and then if you can get the win, extra.
Anything's a bonus. So, look, my predicted score is, I'll probably say something like, might be 2-2, I reckon the score might be. Another kind of high-scorish kind of game, similar to Marconi, because our fellas can score. They just need to tighten up their defence.
Fair enough.
Moving on, actually, we've got two games by the time this rolls around, James, and when this gets released in the morning.
First off, of course, being Sydney FC versus Melbourne Victory, the third big blue of the season, the second one at Kogarah. Wednesday being tomorrow, the 19th of May, kickoff 7:05. Get down to Kogarah if you can, because Sean, you're playing a game yourself, so you won't be there.
Oh no, well, I've got training, and
you've got training.
I'm captain, coach, manager, Facebook admin, gear steward.
Which one's your microphone? How do I mute that?
Yeah.
World's smallest violin. And Jonathan is obviously in Melbourne, so it'll be me and Danny Townsend hanging out at the game.
In the corporate box.
Well, but I was going to say vastly different facilities. I will be in Cove Heights or the Hill, because I don't have any whinging.
Is it Half people. Price Hill?
Half Price Hill.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. You remember anyway.
Yeah, but I don't have anybody whinging about, it's a sun setting and it's in my eyes. And
it's 7:05. It should be right.
Precious retinas and blah, blah, blah. So if I want to go on the Hill.
Yeah, our friends have very pasty skin.
Yep. Love you, Jono. So that's 7:05 Kogarah. Previous results obviously was a minuscule 1-0 win a couple of weeks ago, which wasn't really convincing.
Nah. Actually played pretty decently, Victory, with all the players they had out with injuries and suspensions and the like.
They were missing a few, including, oh God, what's his name?
Traore?
Nah. Other bloke.
Rojas?
Nah, he's Australian and came back from Germany.
Australian and came back from Germany?
He used to be a Socceroo. Useless. He's totally useless in front of goal.
That could be anybody.
I can't remember his name.
My name's...
Oh, God. Hang on.
Should we move on?
No, melbournevictory.com.au/teams.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I put the link on the run sheet for moments like this.
Yeah, except I haven't used it. Goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders. He is Robbie Cruz.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, there you go. Totally well, that doesn't...
He was missing last time, too, but he's also
doesn't
that
say
useless.
A lot that I can't remember the bloke?
Well, and that was kind of my point of going through this exercise, is he's useless and he's... But there'd be so many people shouting at their phones right now going, Robbie Cruz, you idiots. You were too busy teasing Jonathan about the Hill and the sunset. Look, if I want to kiss my friend under the sunset on the Hill at Kogarah, I'll do what I want. I don't need your judgment. So, terrible win last time.
Yeah.
Not good enough. What are we expecting from a Sydney FC lineup perspective?
Can I just a side note?
About making out with Jonathan on the Hill?
We mentioned on the pod that I dabble in a little bit of online dating, you know, so listening. And I matched with a girl and I mentioned...
a little dabbling.
And I matched with a girl and we started chatting and, you know, what do you like, your hobbies and interests? And I mentioned, you know, Sydney FC podcast, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, oh, I went to a Sydney FC game recently. It was a midweek game. I said, oh, what night? She goes, oh, Tuesday night.
No, you didn't.
Melbourne Victory.
Oh, right.
And I said, oh, you know, she was like,
not the best advertisement for the sport,
love. So it was a really shit game. And how boring it was. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sounds about right.
All right. I just had to laugh when she said that. Very We're nice. Not talking anymore.
No, fair enough.
Ghosted her. Anyway. No, she ghosted me. 1-0 minuscule win.
Who are we thinking starts for us?
Well, you got to keep in mind we've got Wanderers on Saturday night. I'm in two minds whether I see Alfie start. I think they might start him off the bench, give him more game time coming off the bench, maybe about half an hour, get a bit more, you know, into his lungs, and then start him for the derby. So I'm going to say, I reckon Bobo starts again, and I reckon you'll see the same starting 11 as Saturday with that front three. I thought Trent was very strong, was one of the best on field without scoring a goal. I think you'll see Trent, Costa and Bobo. Caceres has been brilliant next door to Braddon, but I know Corica's got a real thing, got a real hard on for Retre, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Who would you start in the middle, Sean?
Caceres. I'd rather start
Caceres and
Braddon. No, I'd even start Callum Neuenhoff with his busted back in front of Retre. That's not even a joke. That's actual fact. Retre could do his C3, 5, and 8 vertebra. I don't care. I'd still start him ahead of Retre.
He's a young man. Needs to recover. Lest he end up hunchbacked.
I don't care. I'd still start him. Corica gets talked about. Like, are you going to rotate players? I know the media and journalists, whatnot. Ask him. There's a little bit about on SydneySC.com about, you know, talking about this week's game, and are you going to, rotate players? He doesn't rotate. You'll see the same back four. I reckon you'll see Retre in the middle with Braddon this week, and I reckon Ninko, and you'll see that front three that we had on Saturday to start off with.
I would love to see Ninko rested. I would love to see Wilco rested, Ryan Grant rested, but these aren't the two games to do it.
No. Like you said, form goes out. Even though Victory are at the bottom.
We barely scrape past them, right? And they were at the bottom then as
well.
But it's
a big blue. I know it's a funny time to have a big blue midweek on a Wednesday at Cogra. But yeah, but still there's still that hatred in there, even though it's not like it has been in past years. No. And then
we got to back up for a derby on Saturday, right? So before we get to the derby preview, predicted score for Big Blue?
I want to see goals from open play. I'm going to say 3-0.
Oh, God. I'm going to go 1-0 narrow win again.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
Hey, look.
I won't be surprised if it happens.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Sad but true.
Then, of course, we have Sydney FC versus Western Sydney Wanderers Saturday.
It's actually Sunday. I don't know why.
What I thought. Yeah. So
I got the date right.
Sunday, the 23rd of May, kickoffs at 4:05 p.m. at the SCG. Danny Townsend being quite vocal about this on Twitter, kind of alluding to it in the chat that we just had. We're playing at this. It's the SCG because it's good to be back at Cogra because we have
good to be back. Sorry, at Moore Park.
Yep. Thank you. It's good to be there for members of ours who are closer either to the city or the north. So over the bridge, we have a significant part of our fan base. Mm-hmm. Over the bridge.
It's good to share the love. Absolutely.
And this is a great game for them to be able to get to. SCG, like you said, not ideal. Same orientation as last time. I think I'm hitting all the major talking points.
Yep.
And it's kind of one game of the year,
of
the season, right? And it's a thank you for persevering with us.
And I think the last game we had Wanderers, we won there.
That was...
And Babel got the shit.
The red card.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. That was was that his first derby when they hailed him as the Messiah?
Yeah, might have been. Yeah.
It was. I think it was Babel and Corica's first derby or first game of the or something, right?
Yeah.
And Babel got the red card, and Corica, you know,
and what, you know what else brilliant. We might see that game we haven't seen for a little while because a tifo. Ooh, I reckon we'll see a tifo.
Do you reckon? Yeah. Mind you, for those of you listening. From the Cove or interested in the Cove, we have no inside word.
No.
We're just going, we'd like to see a TIFO.
I'd like to see it, and I think we will.
I hope we do. I hope we've got some spray-painted canvas season. For the Big Blue at least.
And it's a nice time, 4 o'clock. You know, you could start off with lunch and have a few beers. Or if not, you can then kick on afterwards. The game will finish at about 6-ish. Kick on and have a few drinks and a dinner. So
while we're recording as well, I just want to organise our social life. Are you going on Saturday?
Sunday, you mean?
Yeah, Sunday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think Jonathan's going.
Yeah, I think Chris will go as well.
Yeah, cool. All right. Yeah, Rugger Chat Gregory won't go, but he doesn't listen to
the
same.
He cares, I don't even like the bloke. Yeah. Scottish.
Cool.
We had that very heartbreaking pissed off. 3-2 loss to them recently at Bankwest. Great atmosphere.
But you know what? With hindsight as well, bloody entertaining football. I'm still upset we lost, but really entertaining game. And that's kind of what I want to see us play like every week. Right? I'm okay if we lose like that, but I want us to play like that
with
as
that
well.
With that heart.
Right? So, yeah, sorry. 3-2 loss last time.
And they got spanked. And fuck, it was good to watch them get spanked against Perth just the other night.
5-1 or something?
5-1. Andy Keogh hadn't scored all season. Gets
a hat-trick.
Four. Anyway.
A lot of goals.
Especially his first goal from just turned and hit it. That was brilliant. Predicted lineup. Like, I think we'll see...
I think Alfie starts.
Absolutely. I'd be interesting the form. I reckon they'll go the 2-2-2 for him because that's the formation he's probably most familiar with. So I think you'll see Alfie and Costa start. Ninko and ABJ. Because I think you'll find Caceres. I reckon Retro will play start in the Big Blue against Victory. And then you'll see Caceres in the middle with. So I think you'll see a little bit of rotation.
He does play better as a number six, doesn't he?
Caceres.
Yeah.
I think he's great as a number six. I'd like to see him there permanently if it weren't for Callum. I'd see Callum there instead. But and then the same back four as per usual.
Yeah. Which nothing wrong with that back
no,
four.
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Big score predicted.
I'm going to say 2-0 to us.
3-1. 3-2. 3-2 our way.
3-2 our
way. I reckon it'll be a reversal.
Okay. All right. 3 points.
Hang on. What? I don't know if I'm ready to put $20 on ABJ getting his first derby win.
It's got to happen.
He's a poison chalice, just, that man.
It's a matter of time, right?
It's so good.
He's got to get the monkey off the back. He's got to. He'll get it.
Good. Okay, so all right. That's big week coming up.
Absolutely massive week.
Big week coming up.
Always a massive week. Sometimes when I start to put the run sheet together, I'm like, fuck, there's not much happening this week. What am I going to put on it? And then next minute, a day later, are we still using next minute?
I don't know.
Are we still using it? It's 2021.
Thanks, Trent.
two or three things pop up. So massive week, Big Blue, Derby, and then leading into the finals. So everyone, get your asses, get your butts down to Colgrave for the Big Blue and then find yourself over at the SCG, head back to Moorpark Road. We'll see the Cove making their way over to the ground, walking in. I hope I see a TIFO. I reckon there will be because it is a derby. It's the third derby and it's our last home game for the season. So everyone get out to the SCG and, of course, Colgrave midweek to support your boys in blue. Jimmy? Thank you for your company tonight.
Thank you for your company. I've got one more piece of news before we go.
Something popped up?
Yeah, it has popped up.
Quite literally popped.
It's
red hot.
Poking out. Adam Lafondra has just given an interview with a footballing podcast in the UK.
Oh, the tactic thing.
The Tactical View.
Yeah, yes.
And an interesting quote has come out. And for those of you that actually listen to the end of the podcast.
They go all the way through, haven't given up.
Already. I know, right? Adam Lafondra was asked about the best player he's played alongside, right?
Who'd he say? He hasn't played alongside me, though.
No. Yeah, no. His response, let me get it out before I get your action, all right?
That's
because
what she said.
I think you're going to be motivated to respond quite quickly.
All right, bring it.
Adam Lafondra, the best player I've played alongside, Alexander Baumjohann is one. He played in a really good Schalke team with Neuer, Rakitic and Ruhl that went to the semi-final of the Champions League. His passing and vision is ridiculous. He can pick a pass from anywhere and thread the eye of a needle whenever he wants.
I tend to agree with that. I think he's got great vision.
But
if he's not falling over and trying to play for the foul too much, but
But one of the best.
Okay. Maybe.
Miloš Ninković. One of the best.
But like Danny alluded to, you know, Alfie, Alex and Costa, they're tight, those three.
They are.
Those three snakes, like, they're tight.
I'm tight with
maybe
you
and... Maybe there's a slight little bit of bias there.
Look, I'm tight with you and Jonathan, but I don't think you or Jonathan's the best podcast co-host.
No,
I've had. It's Brendan Slowey and Danny Townsend and
absolutely.
Alex.
Anyone else, basically.
We're just recording for ourselves now. We know no one's listening. So, this is just a dig at Jonathan.
Yeah, maybe not the best, but yeah, Alex has got great vision.
He does. Yeah. I tend to agree with him, but not the through Paul. Look, that's an hour and a half podcast. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully see you at the games on Wednesday, being today, by the time this comes out, and on Sunday at the SCG for the Derby. Sean, anything else to add?
No.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us.